This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Thrive Inspiring Women, brought to you by Real Communications. I'm your host, Gina McKenzie, and I'll be speaking with inspiring women who are passionate about making a positive impact on our world. I hope you'll be uplifted and motivated by powerful stories of women doing amazing work to transform people's lives. Mindfulness has become very popular over the last few years, but what is it really about? Registered mindfulness teacher and registered mental health nurse Kate Brandrum Adams joins us today to provide us with a deeper insight into mindfulness. Welcome to Thrive, Kate.
Oh, thanks, Gina. It's great to be here.
We're really lucky to have you here today. So these days, life seems to be busier than ever, and people seem to be, we've actually just been talking about this, quite distracted by technology. Do you think that that has played a part in the rise of mindfulness over the recent years?
Yeah, thanks, Gina. It's a great question. And what I've been experiencing, to be honest, is when I teach mindfulness, is that there's a deep longing in people for something different. And so when mindfulness is being offered, it's like it's really deeply resonating with people, with something that's already inside them that is somehow getting lost in this busyness of our lives. And certainly I think, technology is pulling us around and distracting us all the time. And so, this is what I'm seeing, is that people, come to the courses, and this isn't like, it's not like mindfulness is anything new to them. It's like actually reminding them of something that's already there inside them that's getting covered up. I kind of see it a bit like a seed. It's like we've all got a seed of mindfulness. But in our culture, it's like the seed has landed on barren ground, It's not being properly fed and watered and nourished, because our culture, and my experience anyway, is very much about doing it faster, doing things all at the same time. I get this image of us like on those little hamster wheels, we're always trying to get somewhere. And there's not a lot of support, I don't think, for actually just being and being here. And as you said, the technology has just kind of cranked that up another level. This image of us being like Pavlov's dogs, the phone goes bing or the email comes out and we're like, oh, we've got to check it and we've got to do this. And we're just not encouraged to be here anymore. Yeah. So, I think it is exacerbating the problem. But also, that's the good thing about that, is it's making people more open to actually go with that calling of what they really want and what really gives them well-being.
And that's quite interesting, because when I first discovered mindfulness, I felt like that. I thought, gosh, this is a bit like an onion and I'm peeling away the layers, but it's almost like you're coming back to yourself.
Absolutely. My job isn't actually about teaching anybody anything, really. It's really about catalysing and getting people to come home to themselves and what they already know. So, it's a real privilege to do that, of us actually coming home to the practice of mindfulness.
And so how would you describe mindfulness, and what does it mean to you personally?
So defining mindfulness and putting it into words is always a bit of a tricky one. I do struggle to define it. And that's for a couple of reasons. One is because it means so many things. As you said, there's layers and layers, and it's an experience. It's more of a something that we experience rather than sort of talk about. And so words can only sort of take us to a certain point in really understanding it. Saying that, though, I will put some words to it. The best way I can think of to describe it is something that I heard a while ago, which is instead of mindfulness, awarefulness. I really like that definition of it, because really what we're doing is we're being more aware of what's going on for us on our inside, so like our thoughts and emotions and body sensations, but also what's going on around us. And so we're being aware as these things arise into our consciousness, but we're also doing it in a way, it's how we approach that experience. And with mindfulness, we're approaching it in a kind of friendly, warm, curious kind of a way. Awarefulness, being awake for our lives, really being here for what's happening as it's happening. And I think, you know, for me personally, the first thing I'd say is that I feel deep gratitude, really, for being able to come across this practice. And what it means for me is an opportunity to really see clearly what is going on, and not just to be pulled around by my conditioning, you know, or just being on autopilot, just going through the motions, of really being able to slow up enough and see clearly enough in this kind, friendly way that I can then respond how I want to, rather than just blindly reacting in the same old way that I've always done. Yeah. So hopefully that makes some sense to people.
And it's not so much about improving yourself, is it? That's not really what it's about.
No, and I think, to be honest, it's probably how I got into it, and it's I think for many people it is we see it as another improvement strategy. But again, it's we're not trying to get anywhere here. That's what I love about it. We can't get it right or wrong. It really is about coming home to the wholeness of ourselves that's already here, rather than trying to add something to ourselves or make ourselves better. We actually discover that we're already enough and already whole. It's one of the things I really love about the practice. And the fact that it's not just a relaxation technique, you know, as it becomes more and more out there, you know, it can sort of start to be confused with it just being a way to relax or a technique. And certainly mindfulness, a side effect of mindfulness can be that it activates the parasympathetic nervous system or our relaxation response. But it's so much more than that. It's a transformational practice. It does more than just relax us. It changes our way that we are with ourselves and our experience.
And what about you personally? Could you tell us a little bit about your own journey to mindfulness and how did you become a teacher?
Okay. How did I become a teacher? Well, I certainly didn't embark on the journey to become a teacher, to become a mindfulness teacher. I think that was far from my mind. So it's a bit of a convoluted story, but basically, I came across mindfulness and was attracted to mindfulness because of my own difficulties and distress. Yeah, so I am a real stress bunny. Have been quite crippled by anxiety and depression, and basically one of those folks that I was just living in my mind all the time, thinking, 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 thinking. It was like I was thinking my experience and my life. So very strong on that sort of head focus and the suffering then that comes from being in our heads all the time rather than actually here. I have a mind that really likes to go to the future a lot and worry about what might happen. And then go to the worst case scenario and then try and fix it. And these are all things that haven't actually happened yet. And some of your listeners may relate to this. I've got a mind that's really, really good at that. it's like I was a born risk risk assessor. I would have made a great risk assessor, which is all great if you want to be a risk assessor, but actually not so good if you want to be happy. And so I'd been trying all sorts of different things, some wholesome, some not so wholesome, to try and, as we talked about before, fix myself. Whereas in fact, actually what I ended up doing was changing my relationship with myself and my experience through mindfulness. So that's kind of the personal journey. And then it kind of got mixed up with my professional work. So I'm a mental health and addictions nurse. And so I was being exposed probably for the last 10 to 15 years to a lot of the mindfulness approaches. So I started to do training in them as well. So there was this kind of mix of me developing my own personal practice, going to retreats, doing courses, working with counsellors and teachers for myself, was then kind of combining with the professional training that I was doing. And and then eventually I decided that I wanted to teach mindfulness-based stress reduction, the 8-week course. And that then started me on a whole pathway of, very rigorous training in teaching mindfulness to others, to teach the course, clinical supervision and lots of other things. So I really ended up teaching to support being able to offer mindfulness-based stress reduction. And then it just started to kind of grow from there.
Organic.
Yeah. And then sort of Mindfulness North Canterbury came out of the aspiration to offer mindfulness-based stress reduction to as many people as possible. So, yeah, that's a bit of the journey, Gina.
It's really interesting the way it evolved, isn't it? It's very, very natural.
Yeah.
So with your students, have you seen some positive results and what sort of changes have they reported?
With the mindfulness-based stress reduction, to be really honest with you, it's like it blows me away every time I teach it. That's my experience at the end. It's just like, oh, wow, I'm so glad that I offer this. Because of what people share in the way of their experiences is just so moving, So the kind of things that people talk about, so reduced anxiety, less of a struggle with their own minds and their own thoughts. People talk about sort of improvements in their relationships, like their partners are commenting that they're different. Feeling more engaged maybe with family and children and even in the workplace, sort of changing their ways of communicating or even understanding their colleagues or their families' perspectives more. Not being so reactive is something that people talk about. They're like, nah, they just sort of start letting things go a little, instead of, being so reactive. More inner peace, more trust in their own wisdom. And actually, I've got a number of people that, I stay in contact with a lot and they're kind of like, just really enjoying the simple things in life so much more. It just, really gives me joy to hear these things.
That sounds really rewarding for you and wonderful for the students.
Yeah.
So now, as we've talked about, people are very busy. So have you got some ways of incorporating mindfulness into your life when you don't have a lot of time for a long practice each day?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question, Gina. And of course, something that people come up, as an issue over and over again. And so I'd answer it in two ways. First of all, I'd say people's feedback and experience is that even when they don't have a lot of time, when they spend some time doing mindfulness, suddenly they seem to have more time. So there's kind of a bit of a paradox there. And that also, like building any muscle, the more that we put into it, the more we're going to get out of it. Saying all of that, though, we can start practicing mindfulness like right here, right now. And in fact, we can do this, just the two of us sitting here. We don't need to do anything special. Just start becoming aware of your feet on the floor. You might like to close your eyes down if that's useful. And just starting tuning into the body, just feeling your body sitting here. starting to notice that the body is responding and moving with the breath. And just allowing yourself and this experience to be just as they are. Nothing special to create. And then just carrying on, just as quick as that, yeah?
Oh, that was nice. I haven't done my mindfulness practice today, so that was a nice little 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And that just shows you could be waiting, you know, for something.
Exactly. In the traffic, at the supermarket. You know, it doesn't have to be long. It can be a mini practice. And the other way that we can incorporate it into our lives when we're really busy is not actually having to carve out any time to do a mindfulness practice. Anything can be a mindfulness practice. If we're paying attention to it, so if we're aware of what we're doing as we're doing it, it suddenly is a mindfulness practice.
Brushing our teeth.
Absolutely. Coming to the body and the senses. So without changing anything in our lives, we can start making the shower, brushing our teeth, talking to the kids, you know, walking from A to B. They can all become mindfulness practices.
That sounds really like a really easy way to incorporate it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Without having to carve out that time.
Yeah.
That's a great tip. And so what's the best way for people to get started with mindfulness if they've never tried it before? I mean, there are lots of apps and things out there these days, aren't there?
Yeah, I've kind of thought about that and people ask me that. And certainly I do recommend some apps for people. And I think they can be a really good adjunct to doing other things, but I am certainly an advocate of people doing courses and actually working with a teacher. I just think you get so much more out of the experience. But saying that, you know, apps can be a really good starting place, and people will come to me and say, you know, I've been using an app for a while, but now I want to kind of go a bit deeper with this and get some more of the benefits of it. So working with a teacher then allows you, if you're getting a bit stuck in some areas, also to have, you know, someone to talk to about those things.
And the four-week, I think I did the four-week introductory course. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Really, so, really good.
Yeah, I teach the introduction course as well as the eight-week course, because for some people, you know, you don't need to do an introduction to do the MBSR or mindfulness-based stress reduction. But for some people, you know, it's still a bit unsure of what this mindfulness stuff is the intro course is just such a great kind of gateway in. And then if it is your thing and you think that it's going to offer you something, then you can go on and do the MBSR.
And these days you're working more with schools and businesses. How's that going and how has that sort of evolved?
So it is, it's something that I've started to move into. And again, it's an organic process. I feel really passionate about going into schools, not to teach children, but to actually offer it to the teachers. Yeah, they've got a really, really stressful, difficult job. And the same with workplaces is, you know, we spend a lot of time at work. We spend a lot of time at school, either. Yeah. And so this, to me, makes it a perfect place to start incorporating mindfulness. And I'm really keen to be offering something that changes the culture of a workplace or a school, so it becomes a mindful workplace or a mindful school, rather than just coming in and giving people a one-off, you know, hour, is actually, you know, being able to go in regularly and actually really embedding mindfulness so that the whole of the workplace and the school starts to then really take on, you know, being less stressed, less reactive, more compassionate, you know. And then, of course, that then has the knock-on effect to the productivity and the outcomes of the students. So,
and in terms of the age when we begin mindfulness, does it have an age limit or a starting age? Is it for anyone?
I'm not sure. I think, you know, children particularly, that they probably don't need to be taught mindfulness because they're already mindful. You know, it's like the older or the bigger we get, you know, the more that we need it. You know, children can be a wonderful mindfulness teacher. So, but they're doing all this great stuff in schools. And so, you know, before little ones start losing that freshness and that curiosity and that natural mindfulness of actually really bringing that in at a young age, talking about emotions and thoughts and all that stuff I didn't get at school, which would have really been helpful. Yeah.
And with the teachers, what have you found with the teachers? Because I think now it must be with the open plan classes and having all the classes mixed together in that space, it must be quite hard for them.
Oh, I really, really feel for teachers. You know, they've got multiple pressures. And so, yeah, it's really wanting to offer to them that they're the tool of their trade and that if they can be able to work with their own emotions and their own stress, then that stops the transmission going through to the kids. And the conference I was at recently, I did some training with Tish Jennings, and this has been her focus of working with the teachers, then actually transmits and the mindfulness to the children. And also, amazingly, the research shows that it affects then the children's outcomes as well. So pretty exciting stuff.
And so what do you think will happen in the future as mindfulness continues to grow around the world and here in New Zealand?
What do I think will happen, or what would I like to happen?
What would you like to happen?
Yeah, because it's just growing and growing and growing and growing, isn't it? And in fact, it sometimes feels like it's, you know, become a buzzword of like mindfulness this and mindfulness that. And you know, there's pros and cons to that. What would I like to happen? What I would really love to happen is that evidence-based courses like mindfulness-based stress reduction that's been going for over 30 years and is proven to have, you know, these benefits, that it would become funded like it is in the UK through the NHS, that people everybody had access to something like an MBSR for free through their healthcare system. Not just as the ambulance at the end of the cliff in the treating of mental health disorders or people struggling, but actually as a preventative, you know, of actually, you know, really exposing people to what it's like to be human, to find a different way of relating to their thoughts and emotions as a way of preventing some of the stresses and illnesses and struggles that we have as human beings. So that would be my dream, is that eventually we would catch up and be able to freely offer effective courses.
That sounds fantastic. And I mean, no matter how we feel, we've always got something more to learn about ourselves, haven't we? Yeah. And the way we react to others.
Yeah, yeah.
So how can we learn more about Mindfulness North Canterbury? And you've got some courses coming up soon, haven't you?
Yeah, so Mindfulness North Canterbury, the easiest way really is to look at the website. So that is www.mindfulnessnorthcanterbury. And so everything's pretty much laid out there. And even though I do work specifically in North Canterbury, I do venture in for some things in Christchurch and Canterbury as well, especially around, you know, sort of working with specific workplaces. So courses that are coming up. So there's, as you know, there's a mindfulness-based stress reduction coming in Rangiora at 9th of April that starts. And that's taking registrations. It's got a few places left. And then there's also, I also teach mindfulness, mindful self-compassion, which is a whole other topic. But I run workshops on introducing people to how to be more compassionate to themselves. So for folks out there that may relate to giving themselves a bit of a hard time, or that are in caring positions and having to deal with other people's emotions a lot, then that can be a really useful workshop as well. And that's March the 24th.
That's wonderful. And we're also really excited, Kate, to have you as our guest speaker tomorrow evening at our Thrive event. And there are still a few spots available for that. So if you're a woman and you'd like to come along, feel free to send me an email or visit my website, which is www.realcommunications.co.nz. Thank you so much, Kate, for being here today. It has been fantastic, and I'm really excited about continuing my mindfulness journey with you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Gina, for this opportunity.
Thanks for joining us today on Thrive Inspiring Women. If you'd like to listen to previous shows, go to the Plains FM website and type in Thrive. Thanks again for tuning in to Thrive, and join me again next week for more amazing stories from inspirational women who are changing our communities.